Amen. Well, that's a good song. You know, that it's amazing to me. In the last couple of sermons I have preached here, I work on sermons constantly, but normally about a week in advance, God narrows it down and says, okay, Mike, this is the direction I want you to go. And so I begin to make headway that direction. Well, the music that's turned in is sometimes approved 2 months in advance, and people are practicing it 2 months in advance. But it just seems like that things just kind of line up. And I just appreciate them being sensitive to the Holy Spirit as well. It's good when the preacher's sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I said it's good when the preacher's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but it's also good when the members are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so I can thank God for you. Let's look back at our Bible, please, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 8, where it says that for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And so we understand that sometimes our thoughts do not run parallel, if you will, in agreement with the thoughts of the Lord. We understand that our ways sometimes are not the ways of the Lord. With Charlie going home to be with the Lord, that's not something that was on our calendar, but that was something that was on God's calendar. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Let's not forget the truth of that. For a believer, it's appointed unto man once to die. God has a time on the calendar in the future that is your special day of graduation from here to heaven. Now, he may change that. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. Okay? But can I tell you, there's no surprises with God. However, here's what we do see, that God has some unlikely surprises along the way. A lot of those has to do with you and I. A lot of those has to do with you and I. So let's look at it this morning. I want to give you, if I may, some unlikely things that man would look at and say, well, that just is not something that I would have thought that should have been done that way, or that's something that I perhaps would not say that should go that way. But yet, God's will is always the best will. God's way is always the best way. And so let's look at it. Let me give you some statements this morning. I'm going to pop these glasses on and off because the other ones are not doing well for me. They're all messed up and scratched up, and these are not working, so we have to do something in the future. But now you stay with me. If I mess a word up or two, you just say, oh, God bless him. That's what you do. Okay, here we go. You ready? All right, statement number one. God sent an unlikely Savior. God sent an unlikely Savior. I want us to notice in their Bible, here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 2. The Bible says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, listen to it, and as a root out of a dry ground. For he hath no form, listen, nor comeliness, it says, and when, it says, we shall see him, there is no beauty. And we should desire him. And so many times those that are in the filming industry, they want things to look good. They do. They'll pick out characters that's going to play a certain part, and they want to get the one that looks good. Now, I want to tell you something about our Savior. Our Savior took on the form of man. Okay, our Savior took on the form of common man. Our Savior is not going to remind you and should not remind you of some movie star person. Okay, here's what we see about our Savior. The Bible says this, that there was no beauty in him. He was not one to be desired, but he didn't come to be fleshly desired. He came to fulfill the will of the Father, and the will of the Father was that he was going to lay down his life and shed his blood for all humanity, so that in him and only in him could a person have eternal life. Now, that's how come you ought to adore some of the verses that speak so frankly about this, where Jesus said in John 14:6 that I use often, where he talks about that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. And so emphatically do we teach, and emphatically do we preach, and every preacher that holds the word of God should do likewise, in that the fact is that there's not two ways or three ways or four ways to heaven. There's there's only one. And Jesus said, I am the way. All right? So if a person is trying to work their way to heaven, got news for them. I don't care what religion they claim to be. If they're trying to work their way to heaven, they're not going to go to heaven. They're going to burn in hell. Now, can we understand this morning, that God sent an unlikely Savior? You think about this, if you would, please. Why do you say unlikely? Well, would you give your son? Would you give your loved one? I mean, here he is. He's given his only begotten son. Only, let it sink in. Only begotten son. You and I would not be willing to do that. And so he stepped up and said, I'm going to do something that's unlikely because I love you so much. For God so loved the world. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. By the way, his cradle was unlikely. If you think about the craft that he had working in Joseph's carpentry shop, it was unlikely. You think about him being the one that had companions. His companions were Galileans. The largest amount of their vocation, as far as putting them all in a basket and saying what was the most of their vocation, was fishermen. Right. And what is that? Unlikely. Unlikely. His cross was unlikely. He was rejected by men, if you would please. Hey, that's unlikely. Why would a person want to reject the only begotten of the Father? Do we understand that there's a lot of unlikeliness here, if you will? You know, you think about this. People came and they looked for a crown and they saw a cross. They looked for sovereignty and they saw a servant. They looked for that which is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and they saw a lamb being led to the slaughter. You know, you look at all that and you say, wow, this is just incredible. But don't you thank God that God is masterful in the incredible? Don't you thank God that he doesn't need an applause of man? Don't you thank God that he's the one that provides the way when nobody sees the way? Don't you thank God that he's the one that takes care of the problem when nobody sees the solution? Why? Because he is God. So here's what we understand. We understand that God sent an unlikely Savior. Then you see this, that God saves unlikely sinners. He saves unlikely sinners. There's not a person in here that could stand up and say, I'm justified because I deserve to be. I'm justified because I'm me. I am justified because I've arrived. I'm justified because my mama said, my papa said. I am justified because of my intellectual persuasion. I'm justified because of the money and the stature that I have in present civilization, society. No. No, you see that God saves unlikely sinners. There's not a person in here that deserves to go to heaven. Every person in here deserves to die and burn in hell. Now, because of that, he saved unlikely sinners. Hell-deserving sinners. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, the Bible says, and I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, the Bible says, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I am chief. And that's Paul giving a testimony. He says he came to save people, sinners, if you will. And Paul said this, hey, I'm chief among them. I'm the worst of them all. I'm the worst of the worst. He said he came to save sinners. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, and when we, it says, were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. All right? So we understand this, that God sent an unlikely Savior. We understand that God saves unlikely sinners. I'm talking about hell-bound sinners. I'm talking about hopeless sinners. I don't know what your testimony is, though I know several of you and your testimony, but in general, I could say this. I don't know everybody's testimony that's in here, but can I tell you, I know where I came from. Can I tell you, I know what God saved me from to. I know that. I know the trail that I was walking and the trail that I am walking. There is a great difference. Now, it's not because of religion, but it's because of the righteousness that's found in Christ Jesus. It's because of what Christ did inside of me, yea, the hope of glory inside of me. And by the way, you have a testimony like that. You say, well, I don't think so. Oh, I know so. And it doesn't matter if you grew up in a Christian environment, yea, a Christian home. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you went to the nursery at a Christian church. That doesn't matter. Right. Doesn't matter if you went through grade school in some Christian academy, right, or homeschool, or came up in the nursery through a church all the way up, and now you're married and you have children, that doesn't matter. The same grace that saved the sinner, that's on the street, that's hooked on drugs, that's cheating on his wife, that is somebody, if you would please, that's doing all these wrong things. Can I tell you, the same grace that saves the drunk is the same grace that saves the Sunday school boy. Same grace. That's why we run buses. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel of Christ. That's why we have a soul winning church. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel of Christ. That's why we support missions. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel of Christ. That's why we try to train Christians to be good Christians and yea, to get out the gospel. Why? Because everybody deserves to hear the gospel of Christ. Oh, the choir sings and the choir sings good, and that's to make way for the preacher so that somebody can hear the gospel of Christ. Those that get up and they sing the songs that are specials, and those that play in the orchestra. Hey, can I tell you, it's all about getting people ready to be able to hear the gospel of Christ. Can I say this morning, our precious God, God's unlikely surprises. Well, you see that in the Savior. You see that in sinners. You also see this, that God supplies in unlikely situations. God supplies. I mean, He is the great supplier. You say, well, I didn't see that coming. That's because He wanted to be a surprisingly blessing to you. Well, I just didn't see that it was going to happen that way. Well, that's because God wanted to give you a surprise. Come on. That was a blessing. Now, don't confess this, but has your husband ever surprised you? You say, no, never. That's why I don't want you to confess it. Has your wife ever surprised you? Has your children ever surprised you? Have you ever surprised your children? You say, preacher, none of that. What do you think if I say none of that? I would say you live a completely boring life. People like surprises. Oh, yeah, that's right. Your wife will remember that one time in your life that you opened the door for her. That was a surprise. Well, your husband will remember that one time that you cooked, and for the first time in your life, the very first time, you didn't burn it. Boy, that was a surprise. Well, your parents will remember the very first time that you made your own bed. Put your own clothes away without being told. Boy, that was a surprise. Boy, your husband remembers the time of yesteryear when the ketchup bottle used to have a screw on top. You actually put it on tight so when he went to shake it, he didn't sprinkle the ceiling. That was a surprise. You know, there are surprises that we... Come on. There are surprises. You sit beside that person every Sunday morning and they never say a peep. And all of a sudden, preacher gets up and he nails something. And they like it. So they say amen. Boy, did that surprise you. There's surprises. You've sat behind this person for many, many weeks, and you never heard them laugh like you heard them laugh. They cackled when they laughed. That was a surprise. Hello? You've always sat behind that person, and they always fall asleep in church. For the first time in your life, you saw them stay awake. That was a surprise. That person, you don't like sitting around them. They never wear perfume. They don't wear cologne. They definitely don't wear anything that would make them smell different than they always do. But all of a sudden, you show up on a Sunday morning, and they got so much cologne on, they got so much perfume on, you could smell them four blocks away. And your nose is offendedly surprised. I'm saying this, there's lots of surprises, and here's what we understand. God is wonderful in supplying unlikely situations. Boy, he can supply in ways that you never expected him to supply. May I say, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 still reigns true in every generation. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. The Bible says by Christ Jesus. So he's the one that does supply. And by the way, he uses unlikely resources. You think about the ravens that fed Elijah as an unlikely resource. You think about the widow at Zarephath that fed Elijah, if you would please, with her only baked bread. That was a surprise. But then God took care of her and her son. You think about the lad, probably the one that sticks out more than any other type of surprise that you see in a magnitude way, was the lad that had five loaves and two small fishes, and God used them, and God blessed them, and God fed the multitude. And there was fragments, 12 baskets to speak of, that did remain in the book of John chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. That was a surprise. That was a surprise. So can I say that there's unlikely surprises that God gives. He gives it through unlikely sources. He gives it through unlikely seasons. And he gives it through unlikely sizes. Hello? You ever do this when they used to do this at some of these fast food joints? When you would say, I'd like to upsize that. You remember that years ago? I'd like to upsize that. I don't know if they do that in Canada or not, but they did it here. I'd like to upsize that. And when they would upsize it, you were surprised how much more you got. And you were also surprised how much more weight you got. I'm not talking about the weight of the food. I'm talking about the surprise of that which was taking in the food. Unlikely surprise. I'm saying this, that God supplies in unlikely situations. He really does. We were contacted about Charlie and going home to be with the Lord, and that was a surprise to us. And we love Charlie. We love my mother-in-law, of course, Sylvia's mom. And that was an unlikely surprise. And we immediately said, okay, we got to work this out. You forget the vacation. This is important. We need to work this out. Be able to get down there and be with the family. And so, but we had stuff that was booked up, and we figured out how to do it. You know, flying up to Baltimore, and we're going to go over to D.C. We're still going to do that, by the way. But we have a car that has unlimited miles. Well, if it's unlimited miles, that means it's good for travel. So we just drive down to the funeral there in Florida and be able to attend, and then drive back up and complete the little vacation time that we have together. But can I tell you, God works out everything that you think could not be worked out if you let God work it out. Because he's the God that supplies. Can I say that that God sent an unlikely Savior? He sent unlikely to sinners, to save sinners. And may I say that God supplies in unlikely situations? Let me give you a last thought statement number next. God sends unlikely servants. Unlikely servants. Could you ever imagine yourself years ago serving God? Stay with me now. The way that you serve God? Could you have imagined that years ago? Could I ever had imagined traveling to all the foreign countries and holding pastors' conferences and going in and seeing hundreds of thousands of people bowing their hearts and professing that they receive Christ through a gospel message? Could I have ever imagined that? Could I have ever imagined marrying the dream of the girl, the dream of my life? Could I have ever imagined that would have worked out? Could I ever imagine having children that want to serve God? Could I have ever imagined traveling in evangelism and doing all that I did to help pastors around the United States? And could I ever imagine being a pastor in Texas at the Parkside Baptist Church? Could I have ever imagined having a Bible college and training young men to be able to go out and do the work of the ministry? Could I ever imagine? Could I ever imagine being able to write books and somebody read them? Could I ever imagine? Could I ever imagine having friends of a lifetime to walk beside, to love, and to pray for? Could I ever imagine? May I say this? Can I say that God sends unlikely servants? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says this: "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Listen to the characteristics of whom he does call. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." Listen to it in verse 28. "The base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Now, why does he do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says that no flesh should glory in his presence. He said, I've chosen the unlikely ones to serve. He said, that way I can get all the honor and all the glory. Isn't it amazing how God will use different people in different fabrics of life when it comes to serving Jesus Christ? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how God uses different personalities? Isn't that amazing? God uses, and you can look at the variation of all those that were the disciples under Christ, and you can see that each and every single one of them had a different personality. But God used them all. See, it's not good for you to compare yourself to somebody else. God says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So don't ever get to the point and the place, my beloved friend, where all of a sudden you say, well, I tell you what, I wish I was like so-and-so. Yeah, and that so-and-so is probably wishing they were like you. Well, I wish I could sing like so-and-so. And everybody else wishes you wouldn't sing like so-and-so. Well, I tell you what, I just wish that I had the stature of so-and-so. No, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank God God made you. I wish my nose was shorter. I wish my nose was longer. I wish I had a different color of hair. I wish that I was thinner. I wish I was fatter. I wish I was taller, shorter, brainier. I wish I didn't know so much. I wish I had a striking personality that when I walked in the room, everybody would flock to me. I wish my personality was not so sparky. I'm tired of walking into a room and everybody flocking to me. I tell you what, I wish that my neighbor was different, my wife was different, my kids were different. I wish that everything would be different. Why don't you settle down and just thank God that you are who you are? Why don't you settle down and thank God that God has you in the situation that you're in? Amen. You know what I find out Most people that always want something different never amount to much. Most people, it's always bouncing around. Well, let me chase this, and let me chase this, and I've got to do this. And, you know, they don't accomplish much in life because they spread themselves out so thin that they can't concentrate on success. You know what I find out? Those that try to be everything to every man, they will. They'll be like Paul. They'll win some. You could, however, if you wanted to be, maybe concentrate to be able to win those some, but have some good friends too. I'm saying this. I'm saying that God sends unlikely servants. You think about just different ones. There was Moses that God used as an ambassador to be able to go before that which is Pharaoh. Slow of speech. Matter of fact, he said, how about if I get Aaron to talk with me because I'm not eloquent of speech, he said. But God used him. He was an unlikely servant. You think about David. David, the smallest of his brothers, but stepped up, slew the giant. Later on, anointed king. Unlikely. Nobody thought he would ever be used. You think about that which is Joseph, despised by his brothers, thrown in a pit. Bible says a dry pit. Left to die. Sold to the Midianites. Sold into Potiphar's house. Landed in the king's prison. Rose then to that which is only second in that particular kingdom in command. Wait a minute. But he was unlikely. Joseph, despised by his own brothers. They would see his silhouette coming across the hill and say, and they'd make fun of him. But God used him. See, God uses unlikely servants. You think about, if you will, in the New Testament, different ones that God used, such as Peter, the big mouth. Peter and John were very different. John would think, then he would speak. Peter would speak, then he would think. So here Peter is, but God used him. I mean, backslidden Peter got right with God, and 55 days after he got right with God, God preached him on the day of Pentecost. And over 3,000 received Christ. Man, that's an unlikely servant. You think about Saul, later became known as the great Apostle Paul, persecutor of the church. Would come to the church and he would write down the people's names that was in that church service. Then we'd go and follow them home and get an address. Then he would show up into court and gave accusations against them in a court of law, so much so they'd be cast into prison and many of them died. Yet when God needed somebody to be able to give the gospel to the Gentiles, he chose the unlikely one. Right. Received Christ on the road of Damascus, then started to preach boldly in the name of Christ. Amen. The disciples were afraid of him, but there was a fellow by the name of Barnabas that said, look, you know, you need to hear him. I heard him preach, and you need to hear him. And he connected up with the disciples and connected up with Barnabas. And then later on, you'll see that he's going over to Antioch and where all those people that got saved at that young church. And he's spending 2 years being discipled by Barnabas as them two are now discipling all those that got saved at Antioch. And can I tell you, he was an unlikely servant. But God uses unlikely servants. I heard of a man when Brother Hatch and I was preaching together many years ago. He said, let me tell you about a man in Ohio. He said, this man, he says, it is an unusual preacher. He runs upward to 2,000, but he can't read and he can't write. He said, let me tell you how his ministry started. He started by carrying a cross. He'd go out on the highways and he would stop people and he would talk to them and the highways were all backed up and he would witness to them and he would tell them about Christ. And he got such a burden, he said, well, they need to learn more. And his wife would read the scriptures to him and he would practice and practice and practice and preaching. And he'd get up on a Sunday morning and he'd give it everything that he had and he'd preach the word of God. Unlikely servant. unlikely servant. Can I tell you, God uses unlikely people because he realizes that unlikely people would give him the honor and the glory. When I received Christ as my Savior, I never will forget this. Man, I tell you, I stuttered. I was in high school, and I stuttered. I'd go to ask a girl out, and it was terrible. It was rough. It was terrible. I'd stutter, and I'd say, would you go out? 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 I mean, it's horrible. I often say, by the time I got it out, she'd be married and have 5 kids. I'm telling you, it was rough. Then I became the captain of this and the captain of that, and oftentimes I was just really terrified of people. I was an introvert of introverts. Then I went to Bible college. I didn't go to Bible college. I wanted to be a police officer. That's what I wanted to do. My daddy got mugged coming out of the side of Baltimore City's Maryland's bank, and he got mugged, and so I wanted to go back to Baltimore, and I wanted to be a police officer walking that beat where my daddy got mugged. I told daddy, I said, nobody ever mug you again. Promise you that. That's what I wanted to do. But I went to Bible college because I didn't know the Bible. I didn't go to Bible college to be a preacher. I didn't go to Bible college so that I could be able to stand up behind a pulpit one day. I told God, when God called me to preach, I said, 2 things we're going to agree on after I do this. I'm going to embarrass you a whole lot. I'll probably embarrass me too. But I remember surrendering my life to God. And here's what I said. God, I'll give you everything I've got. Everything I am, you have. Now, if you want to use it to make a mess, you can use it to make a mess. If you want to use it for your honor and glory, you can use it for your honor and glory. Here's one thing I promise you. You've got Mike Wells the rest of the days of his life. And when I did that, there was a great peace that came into my heart. And I never will forget the first time I preached. I'd stammer and I'd stutter. I knew it was going to be a mess. I knew it was. I just knew it was going to be a horrifying trip. But I said, God, you have got me, all of me. I stood behind a pulpit at a rescue mission, filled a room filled with 100 or so men, and I was scared to death. And it looked like that my daddy was sitting on the back row. I never will forget this. Well, my daddy was a man of character. He never would have went to a rescue mission. He knew how to work, and he wasn't lazy about it. He worked. He earned his own keep. He didn't rely on the government like lazy people do. He worked. He's up early in the morning, worked late at night. He didn't want the government to take care of his family. He worked. But for some reason, that man in that back row, Brother Tommy, he looked like my daddy. And I got up, and I was scared. My knees were trembling playing the cymbals. My heart was beating like some drum that was out of whack. And I got up, and I said, okay, men, you're here tonight to hear me. And I'm going to give you my best shot. But I'm telling you right up front, it's not going to be a good one. So you better listen on purpose, because as soon as I get done, I'm leaving. And I got up, and I was full well determined I was going to preach 2 minutes, and I was gone. I opened my Bible to the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and I began to preach a little bit, and I said, now, you know, if you need Christ, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Some men raised their hand. I was shocked. I thought, you didn't hear me right. I was trying to talk out of it. I said, if you need Christ, you raise your hand. And more men raised their hand. I thought, oh, this is not going like I thought it would. I said, no, if you mean it, stand up where you are. They stood up. Brother Nosa, they stood up. And I said, you come on down here. 5 men walked to the front. including that man in the back that looked just like my dad. He wasn't my dad, but he could have passed as a brother. I led them to Christ. They got saved. I got back in the car and I said, okay, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it the rest of the days of my life. Unlikely servants. God's looking for somebody just like you. God's looking for somebody just like me that says, God, not much, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you everything I've got. And when you do that, here's what God says. God says, that's all I need. That's all I need. Just give me everything you have.